you got your Bibles or your app this morning, would you stand with me, please? Open them up to Romans, the fifth chapter. Romans, the fifth chapter. We're going to read a rather lengthy portion of Scripture today, so bear with me. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 through verse 21. That says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense, for if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from the one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as though one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in life and death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you, God, for this message today. I pray, God, that our hearts would be open and receptive to hear what you have to say today, Lord God, so that we can grow in the knowledge of you and grow in our walk with you, Father God. Fix our perception, Father God, of how we see sin so that we can see it the way you see it, Lord God, and help us, Father God, then to deal with it the way that you would. And we give you all the praise, the honor, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're talking about in our doctrine series, we're talking about the fall. We already talked to you about the last time we were together, the actual conditions of the fall, how man actually fell in the garden. We went through that in Genesis chapter 3. But today what I want to do is I want to talk to you a little bit more about sin and the condition of sin. And you know, in the church today, we don't talk much about sin. We want to talk about righteousness. We want to talk about, you know, how God has delivered us and all those wonderful things. But when it comes to understanding the true effects of sin, if we don't talk about it, how are you really going to know how detestable sin is? And if you take it lightly, then the next thing you know, you're going to put up with a lot of things and think that it's not a big deal, but to God it is. And so in our opening text, what we see here basically is Paul is saying, if we break it down to this, Paul's saying this, there are two kinds of people, right? There are those people that are in Adam, and then there are those who are in Christ. And that's who lives on the earth today. Two groups of people, those in Adam and those in Christ. And each of us had our start in this world in Adam. If you are born again and a child of God, you are now in Christ. You're no longer in Adam. If you are not born again and Jesus is not your Lord, you are still in Adam. And we need to talk about that because being in Adam brings forth some things that happen in life that we're just maybe not really accustomed to talking about in church that we need to. So let's talk about these. Let me just show you something here about what it means to be in Adam. If you're in Adam, it means that you received his sin. But if you're in Jesus, you've received his sinlessness. If you're in Adam, then you die. But if you're in Christ, then you live. If you're in Adam, you're experiencing condemnation, but if you're in Jesus, you're experiencing justification. Amen? If you're in Adam, you're unrighteous, but if you're in Jesus, you are made righteous by Him. If you are under Adam, you are disobedient. If you are under Jesus, you become obedient. If you're in Adam, then you are born by natural generation. If you are in Christ, then you've been born again. Amen. Now, what we need to understand is that in Adam, everybody is born in Adam. When you are born in this world, you are born in Adam. And it takes us being born again to be delivered from the effects of those things that I've just mentioned to you that are in Adam. It takes being born again, receiving Christ as Lord, to be redeemed from the effects of those sin natures. And so here's the thing about Adam. Adam was, and we're going to get into this more next week. We're going to get into covenant next week, but I want to talk to you a little bit about it. Basically, in every covenant, there is a covenant head or covenant representative. And in our case, the covenant representative that affected or represented all of humanity was Adam. He's the covenant head. And whatever the covenant head does, whatever decisions the covenant head makes, it affects all of those that are part of that covenant head's family. And in Adam, when he sinned in the garden, the effects of his sin affected every single human being born after him. There is no exceptions. Everybody is born after Adam, is born according to Adam's sin nature. All right? We're born that way. We're born in sin nature. And so it takes Jesus Christ coming to redeem man. Thank God he is called in the Bible the second Adam. And because he is the second Adam, he begins to represent us or mankind as well. He represents mankind by doing this. He goes to the cross and he pays the penalty for your sin and my sin. The penalty for sin under Adam is death. Right? The wages of sin is death. Right? And so everyone who is born under Adam owes a debt they can't pay. That debt is eternal death, eternal damnation. You will pay that eventually if you don't come into Christ. But if you come into Christ, He takes your place and He pays that debt for you. Amen? Amen? So thank God in Christ the debt has been paid. But the problem is this. Because we're born in Adam, we're born with a sin nature. And even after you are born again, although the sin nature is dealt with, the way we think doesn't always change our walk. Sometimes we're still walking in that sin nature mentality. And so we want to talk a little bit about this today so we understand some of these things. First of all, I want to make sure you know that everyone is born with a sin nature. The Bible's real clear about it. I put a few scriptures in your notes about that. Psalm 51 verse 5, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." Psalm 58 verse 3, NIV, "Even from birth the wicked go astray. From the womb they are wayward, spreading lies." Ephesians 2:3, "Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others." So we were born this way. Amen. This is how we came in to the world. We have a sin nature, although sin nature causes us to do some foolish things and rebel against God. We still have an element, which I'm going to get into in a minute, talking about, and we talk about this when we talk about the image of God. We found out that even in depravity, we still have a representation in us or an echo in our heart about that whole image of God. You don't stop being human once you become fall into sin nature. You're still a human being. That's why we have people today that still do good things even though they're not saved. That's why people do good things. It's because in them, there still is that image of God. There's that pull in their heart that kind of want to be like the Good Samaritan. Right? And so that's still in some folks today. It's in all of us, even though we have a sin nature. But here's the thing. I want to talk to you real briefly about what is total depravity, because it depends what camp you come from, how you think about this. And I just want to make sure you understand the camp that we're from here at this church, how we see that. Right? Because it's important for you to agree with this, because there's one faction in the body of Christ that believes in total depravity, meaning that when you are got sin nature, you are one person that has nothing good in you. You're totally depraved. Everything you do is depraved, right? We don't believe that. Okay? We don't believe that. We understand that sin nature will cause us to do some things that are sinful, but yet there's still an echo of the image of God on the inside of us that we yield to. So we believe this. We don't believe in total depravity in the sense that everyone is completely evil and that's all. What we believe in is that sin nature affects you totally, spirit, soul, and body. That every part of you is affected by sin. Your way you think, your mind, your will, your emotions is affected by sin, by the sin nature, right? It affects your physical body, and it will affect your spirit undoubtedly. And so in all of those areas, we believe that every part of man is affected, but we don't believe that man is completely animal-like and only evil. Everybody understand that, right? So it's important for you to grasp that, because it depends on what camp you go to, will depend on what you hear about that. And some people will say that if you have sin nature, you're only going to do evil and there's no way for you to ever do good. The problem with that is there's a lot of people that do good that are not born again. Amen. And that's because they still have that echo of the image of God on the inside of them. That's why we hunger for justice, right? Why do we want justice in our city? Even if someone does something evil, it's appalling to the majority of people today. That's because you still have that echo of the image of God. All right? And so it's important to understand the difference. So let's get into this a little bit this morning. So what are some sinful views of sin? You know, mankind is so sinful that when we sin with the way that we even view the sin that we committed. And don't ask me to repeat that. You'll have to listen to that on the thing. So it's important for us to understand that there are some views of sin that are sinful that we adopt when we sin. And if you don't know these or recognize these, what will happen is, you know, it's like if there's something wrong with you and you go to the doctor, you have to get a right diagnosis in order for them to correct what's wrong. And if you don't get a right diagnosis of what's wrong with you where sin is concerned, you won't be able to diagnose it properly. Therefore, you won't be able to deal with it properly. So we're going to help you with that this morning. Here's some sinful ways of viewing sin. Number one, thinking that sin is just breaking some rules. Some people just think, well, that's all, it's just breaking some rules. But let's understand this, that every rule comes from God. So when we look at breaking rules, we need to understand that our relationship with God is based upon obeying what God has said. So when we break what we call a rule and think that it's no big deal, I want you to know what's happening. You're hindering and breaking and separating your relationship with God. Absolutely. You are hurting your relationship with God when you sin. And so for us to think it's not a big deal, it's just, you know, messing around with a few little rules and regulations. No, it is the what's right is right has been established by God in His Word. And when we do what's right, we're honoring God. When we do what's wrong, we're dishonoring God. And it's not breaking rules, it's simply not obeying God. So we need to look at it from that perspective. Number two, Christians say, well, Jesus died for all my sins, so I'm forgiven no matter what I do. Therefore, I don't need to take my sin very seriously because Jesus forgives it. Well, let me just tell you this. That's abusing the grace of God. When I first got saved in the first church that I went to after I got saved, the first Christian church I went to, there were some folks there that adopted that particular theology. And it sounds really good because I'm on my way to heaven. Jesus has forgiven me of my sins. I can live my life any way I want. After all, if I don't live perfectly, it's okay. God's grace covers it. I got news for you. That's not true. Paul said it in this sense. He said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he said, absolutely not. See, we don't sin just so that we can cover our sin by God's grace. In fact, if that's your mentality, my question to you is you better examine your heart to see if Jesus is even your Lord. Amen? Number three, there are those who are paranoid by their sin that they believe wrongly, if I don't confess every sin, I'll go to hell because one of my sins won't be forgiven. That's a lie of the devil. First of all, let me say this to you. According to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, the Bible says, if I confess my sin to Him, to the Father, He is faithful and just to forgive me of my sin. And then it didn't stop there. It said, and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. You see, you may not remember every sin you ever committed. And if you forgot to confess one, and you do use 1 John 1:9 with an integral heart, with an honest heart, then sincerely God has already paid the price for all of your sin. Jesus died for your past, present, and future sins. So 1 John 1:9 covers that. Amen? Now we don't use that as an excuse to sin. Right? That was the other side of this, where these guys would say, well, if my sin's not a big deal, I got 1 John 1:9, I'll just confess my sin in the morning and everything will be fine. That's a wrong heart, amen? And so your heart needs to repent. We'll get into some of that later. Number four, there are those who say, God knows my heart. I love this one. And it's really what's in my heart that counts. So I may say or do some bad things, but you know, God knows my heart. Boy, you got that right. He does know your heart. And in Proverbs chapter 4, the psalmist there wrote that out of your heart flow the issues of life, right? It's, Jesus said this in Matthew. He said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. So you see, how you live your life and what you say out of your mouth are a direct result of what's in your heart. So you can't go around and say, I'm good, but I do bad things. See, you can't say that. You can't go around and say, well, my heart is great, but, you know, my behavior is bad. There's a contradiction of Scripture there. If your heart is right, you don't willingly, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, go around and sin. You don't do it habitually. If you do, there's something wrong with your heart. It's a heart issue that needs to be dealt with. Amen? All right, and then number five, there are those who say, well, sin is fun, right? And I don't want to live a boring, dull life, so I want to have a little bit of fun. So sometimes I allow myself to sin a little bit because I like having a little bit of fun. What a lie of the devil. When you were in Adam, sin was fun. But when you come into Christ, the things that were displeasing to God become displeasing to you. Amen? And in order to think that you just got to have a good time, the Bible tells us in Hebrews, hey, friends, listen. The Bible says in Hebrews that sin has pleasure for a season. If there was no pleasure in sin, if there was no fun in sin, who would do it? Nobody would sin. The devil knows he's got to make it a little bit attractive to your flesh or nobody would be involved in disobeying God. If all we saw were the consequences and never saw the pleasure of it, then who would ever do it? Right? If I put a wonderful milkshake in front of you and tell you, man, this is a great, beautiful milkshake, man, or a great day to have a milkshake, but I just want you to know I've got arsenic in it, so if you want it, go ahead and have a drink. Who's going to drink it? Ain't nobody going to drink that, right? But if I don't tell you, I could deceive you into thinking it's a good thing. And that's how the devil behaves. And that's how we fall into sin. So let me tell you what, if you have this mentality that sin is fun, you've got to examine your heart. Because it shouldn't be fun. Right? It shouldn't be fun. I'm not saying it won't give your flesh a little satisfaction. But you know that there is a consequence to every sin. And so we've got to be very careful about letting it become a deceptive thing in our life that we just think, oh, this is just going to be fun. No, it's not fun. Payday's coming. And when that comes, you'll find out how much fun it isn't. Right? All right, let's go on. Number six. There are those who say, it's not a sin if no one gets hurt. Right? I don't know where people come up with this stuff, but it's stuff that we try to use to justify our sin. Let me tell you what, when you sin, it never affects just you. Amen. Never. You say, well, who's getting hurt, Pastor? You know, I'm going to go out and I'm going to get plastered or I'm going to get high. It's just me by myself. Who's it affecting? Well, first of all, if you're a part of the body of Christ, you are a member of God's body. It affects all the body because the Bible says when one part hurts, we all hurt. So whatever you do affects me. Affects everybody in this room. Amen. It affects everybody that's watching your spiritual walk and knows what you do. It affects them. It affects if you're married, your family. Amen. It affects your children. Don't say it never affects anybody. I love this. People now, if they're here like this, you don't forgive me, but the fact of the matter is, if you're living with somebody, said, what's the big deal? Let me tell you what, it affects you. It will affect you today, and it's going to affect you down the road when you get married. It'll affect your mate. It'll affect your relationship. It will affect you. It will affect those watching you. Amen. Sin affects everyone. Yes. Those who, number seven, who say, well, it's only sin if you get caught. So now we're saying secret sin doesn't count? Huh? As long as we can get away with it, I guess Adam found that out, that God knows wherever you are. Right? You, there is no such thing as a secret sin where God is concerned. Number eight, those who say, well, it's very popular, then it's okay. Everyone's doing it. Well, just because something's popular doesn't make it right. Amen. Amen. See, people get caught up with this stuff. Sometimes they'll use excuses like this. They'll say, well, it's just a cultural thing. And in our culture, it's okay to get drunk. Well, I'm sorry. If the Bible says it's not okay, I don't care what culture you're from, it's not okay. Right? We don't let our culture, we don't let where we come from, we don't let how we were raised determine what's right and wrong in our life. We use God's Word as our tool. Amen? We use God's Word as the standard. The problem is the church has not done that. That's why we're in the sorry state we're in today. Because everybody sets their own standard. Listen, God's already said it. You've got to raise up to that level if you want to be who God wants you to be. And then the last one is this. Some Christians like to make everything into sin, a sin issue, even when it's not. These are the people that say, if as long as you know you do it like I do it, then it's okay. But the minute you don't do what I do, then it's sin. You know, if you don't go to my kind of church, it's sin. Right? You're in sin if you go to some other Christian church and not my kind of church. Right? People are like that. And we need to understand that, friends. You don't have a right to push what's right on your conscience onto somebody else. Just because in your conscience says, you know, I shouldn't do that, you can't find scripture on it, you know. Some people think, you know, and this went around for years, you know, if you eat sugar, you're a sinner. Right? Well, listen, if your conscience tells you don't eat sugar, don't eat it. But don't make your conscience my conscience, right? You know, if you don't want to drink coffee, don't drink it. But if I go to Starbucks, don't get on my case about it. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. So we need to just remember that don't make your personal convictions everybody else's sin. Right?
Yes.
All right. Praise God. So what are some sinful responses to sin? You know, sometimes we respond to sin in a sinful way. So let's look at those. Number one. One thing we do is we minimize sin. People love to do this. You know, it's not that big of a deal. You know, it's not that big. Come on. It's just a little. I was talking to this one couple this weekend. And the guy is sitting here and he's talking about some things that he did in his life. And he goes, you know, I've told some white lies. And he stopped right there. And he goes, okay, there's no such thing as a white lie. It's just a lie. And I said, well, good for you. I said, because it's a lie. And you can't justify it as, oh, it's just a white lie. What in the world's a white lie? What is that anyway? I still don't know what a white lie is. It's a little one? A little lie doesn't hurt too many people. A little lie, you know, is okay, get away with, but, you know, don't tell a big lie. How in the world do we rationalize this kind of stuff, right? It's minimizing our sin. The other one, number two, is legitimizing our sin. We get into this whole belief system that, you know, my sin is different from everybody else's sin, right? You know, everybody else's sin is bad, but, you know, for me, I've got reasons why I sin. So, my sin I have an excuse for, but the rest of you, you know what's odd about that is that if you talk to people, everybody's got an excuse for their sin. Right? You can't legitimize your sin. Sin is sin. When you see it that way, you'll quit trying to make light of it. Right? Number three is rationalizing our sin. This is there is the common error of rationalizing sin as acceptable because of some extenuating circumstances. Right? People will rationalize their sin. Well, they did this to me, so therefore that's why I sin. Right? That's like blame shifting, but we'll get into that. That's another one. Well, these two kind of go together, number four and this one, you know. Number four is blame shifting, but we think somebody did something to me, so therefore I have a right to live my life this way. Right? No, you don't. In a few weeks, we're going to get into some of this stuff, but I just want you to know that a lot of terrible things happen to some people. And just because some terrible things happen to you, that gives you no right to live your life based on those terrible things that happened to you. You need to get some help, get out of that, deal with those issues so that they're no longer burdening your life and controlling your mind and your thought life. Amen? You can't call that as an excuse for sin. You know, my father was mean to me, so therefore I'm mean to my children. Sorry. You have a better example in the Bible than that. Amen? You have to line your life up with what God said, not with the way that you want to be. Amen? And so, blame shifting, that's not my fault, it's their fault kind of thing. Diversion, number five. This is where we try to avoid our sin by saying that we're just kidding. You ever have that happen? Someone does something wrong, you say, well, I really was just joking around. I really didn't mean that. Listen, when you sin, you can call it whatever you want, but when you start looking at it as when I sin, it's sin, and I don't think my Heavenly Father is laughing about it, then I won't laugh about it. Yeah. See, here's why these things are important. If you don't recognize this stuff, what you'll do is you'll take your sin and think it's a light thing, and you will not repent. And if you don't repent, that sin's going to stay with you. The consequences of it will stay with you, and it will affect your life until you do something about it. So you've got to be able to quit shifting this stuff and making it something that it's not. Number six, partial confession. I love this one. Well, I did this. Yeah, I really did. You go to your husband or your wife or your children and you confess part of your sin. You don't tell the whole thing because, you know, I don't really want to talk about that part. Listen, if you're going to confess it all. God knows it all anyway. You can't just tell part of it. You've got to tell all of it. You know, one of the things, in a session I was in this week talking with some folks, and what's interesting is this couple didn't want to share everything. I only did this. And then the other would say, yeah, but you also did that. Yeah, but you know, and then here come the excuses. Come on. We got to stop that nonsense, right? We got to get to the place where we're saying the truth. Number seven, worldly sorrow. This is interesting. You know, this is when we just regret the consequences of our sin. We're sorry that somebody's feelings got hurt. We're sorry that we hurt somebody. But we're really not sorry for our sin. Huh? Worldly people do that all the time. Oh, man, I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. But I'm really not sorry I did what I did, but I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. You hear that all the time? People try to give you an apology. Well, you know, I might not have handled it right. You might have got hurt, but I just want you to know that, you know, I really meant what I said. My motivation behind what I did was right, but I just did it wrong. What kind of apology is that? If it's sin, it's sin. Right? victimization, we talked about that a little bit. This is where, you know, you just, because you're a victim, you start blaming everybody else, blame shifting. You know, you're not responsible for your behavior anymore because after all, this person did this to you or this person did that to you. And now, you know, it's just an end result of all this. Get some counseling. Get some help. Amen. Get out of that mess. Praise God. And confess your sin before the Father. Amen. Ask Him to heal you, deliver you, set you free from those evil things that happen to you so you can once and for all be free. Amen. All right. Number 9, mere confession. I love this one. This is where I named the sin, but I really don't repent. Oh God, I did do that, but you know. Forgive me for it. You don't really mean it. You're not really sorry. You know, one thing about the Bible says that godly sorrow leads to repentance. If you don't have any godly sorrow, you're never going to repent. If you don't repent, don't think God's going to forgive. Just saying you did it isn't enough. Well, you got busted, so yeah, I copped to it. I did it. Okay, but are you sorry? Are you repenting? Getting quiet in here. Number 10. To treat sin as a disease rather than an evil offense. And if that doesn't declare who we are today, oh my gosh. We don't sin. We just have problems now. Well, see, you don't understand. I got this problem. What is it? I get drunk every single day. You know, it's just my problem. No, it's your sin. It's not your problem. You might be an alcoholic. That might be what they call it. But the fact of the matter is, what you are doing is called sin. And if you want to get free, get help. And quit sinning. If you sin willfully and make excuses for it, you are still a sinner. You're being held accountable for that. Amen. You can't just keep living like that. You've got to do something about it. Let's quit calling our sin our problem. Right? And call it for what it is. Sin. All right. Now, how does God respond to our sin? Can you handle just a little bit more? All right. Well, first of all, we learned a lot of this from what we talked about a couple weeks ago in the garden. But here's what we see. Number one, He judges sin. I'm going to tell you what, God just doesn't, because He's a just God, He doesn't just turn His head and look away. When you sin, God knows it. And because you sin, there is a judgment that must fall for that sin, especially if you don't confess it. With confession, we allow the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from that sin. Doesn't mean there won't ever be consequences, but it does mean I won't be judged by God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, He said, if you will judge yourself, you won't be judged. So when it comes to sin, we've got to judge ourselves because God's a just God. He is going to judge sin. He has to, or He wouldn't be just. Number two, He gives grace. Thank God, right? In the garden, when man fell, what happened? God pursued him. Right? Man is hiding, but God is pursuing. When you sin, God's pursuing. He's not pursuing you so He can punish you. He's pursuing you to lead you to godly sorrow, which will lead you to repentance. Amen. Number three, He teaches. Amen. When you sin, your Heavenly Father wants to teach you what you did was wrong. Sin, God will use sin in your life as a teaching moment. That's why He wants to talk to you about it. He's not going to tell you that, oh, it's okay, that wasn't that big a deal. He's going to tell you what you did was wrong, and He's going to help you to overcome it. If you never take it to the Father, how can that ever happen? As a parent, we do that with our children. When they do something wrong, we get upset with them. We correct them. But if we don't turn it into a teaching moment, we've missed a great opportunity. Number four, He covers their shame maintains their dignity, and he sends them away so that they would not live forever in a state of sin, death. So we knew that when they fell in the garden, if God let them stay there and live forever in that sin, how ungodly would that be? But God prepared a way for them to come out of that sin, right? So God made their life so that they didn't live eternally any longer. So they weren't going to stay in their sin forever. You and I don't have to stay in our sin forever either, because Jesus Christ came to forgive us. Number five, God makes this promise in Genesis 3:15 that He would send His Son. Amen. When Adam sinned, He brought forth sin into this world, and it was passed upon all mankind. God made a promise. He wasn't going to leave the world and humankind in that state. He said, I'm going to send my Son. He's going to come as a Redeemer. And those of you that will receive the free gift of righteousness that He brings will be cleansed from all of your sin. And that's really what we do with sin. We bring it to Jesus, and we let the blood of Jesus wash us and cleanse us so that we no longer have to live in the condemnation of that sin any longer. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Friends, let me just tell you today, let me encourage you, deal with your sin. Deal with it. Don't keep sweeping it under the carpet. Amen? Deal with it today. Don't let another day go by. Deal with it today. Whatever you need to confess before your Heavenly Father, confess before Him. You say, well, I don't know what I need to do. Let me tell you what. Spend a few minutes in His presence and He'll show you. He'll show you. If your heart's clean and your heart's pure, great. Praise God. But if it's not, be open enough to let the Spirit of God show you so that you can repent, so that you can get cleansed, get right, and begin a life that lives in that whole righteousness that Jesus prepared and paid the way for us to have. Amen. It's a free gift. Take advantage of it. Amen. Father God, thank You for Your Word today. We give You all the praise, the honor, and the glory that You loved us so much that You didn't leave us in our sin, God, but You found a way for escape for us. And that way of escape is through the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank You we are washed in that blood. We're cleansed by that blood. We're set free by that blood today, Father. Even as we sang about earlier, it's the blood that flows from Emmanuel's veins that has healed us, set us free, Father God, restored us. And now, Father God, has caused our sins to be washed away. Thank You so much for the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen. Praise God. Listen.